You're listening to the Premier Podcast Network.
Mind of the Meanie is now an exclusive brand partner with WWEShop.com. Pick up all your favorite new merchandise from Roman Reigns.
Acknowledge me.
Cody Rhodes.
I have to finish the story.
LA Knight.
Let me talk to you.
And more using our exclusive link in the show notes. Click below and show your support today for your favorite WWE superstar at WWEShop.com.
Yeah!
This is the Mind of the Meanie. Here are your hosts, the Blue Meanie and Adam Barnard.
World and welcome everybody to the Mind of the Meanie, a weekly peek into the world, according to former WWE superstar and ECW original, Blue Meanie. We'll cover wrestling, music, movies, sports, and lots of useless knowledge, all contained in the Mind of the Meanie. I am your tour guide, Adam Barnard, and he is the Blue Meanie. Meanie! What's on your mind?
I don't know about you, but I am still fucking selling from Mania Week.
Yeah.
Just like, still fucking, like, sick. Yeah. Just not like, I don't have the Rona, but just like, today, little side baseball, April 19th, recording at 7:47 p.m. on a Friday. Today is the first day I've had where I didn't have to be anywhere to do anything since March 29th.
Wow.
Like every day, constant something to do, whether, you know, wrestling or personal, and just like, I start feeling it like Mania Sunday.
Yeah.
Like my voice started getting a little hoarse, and, Mrs. Meanie got all kinds of fucked up too, you know. So we both kind of just got worn down and just,
yeah.
So it's like, you know, congestion and allergies, and it's probably doesn't help, you know, with the, you know, change of season too, you know.
Yeah.
But man, like today is like the first kind of day I've kind of felt semi normal, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But how are you? I know you had a little thing going on, right?
Oh, man, it's been a shitty couple of days, man. I actually ended up in the hospital late last week.
Oof.
I was, so basically, like, since the last time we talked, I think it was like, what was it, about 2 weeks before Mania, right? I think.
Mm-hmm.
And when did we record? I'm trying to remember the timeline. We recorded, yeah, it was Saturday. Right. Oh, no. Yeah. So I think it was last week.
Yeah.
I had strep B.
Oof.
And I was exhausted from Mania, and I was totally fucking wiped. And I think I went to the hospital that Tuesday morning. I think it was, I was getting ready to go back to work Monday night, and I felt like shit. And I was like, something doesn't feel right. Right. So
yeah.
I ended up, like, I took the next day off of work. I had some extra time. I was like, listen, I don't mean to, like, do this last minute. Talk to my boss. I was like, I don't mean to do this last minute, but, like, I really feel unwell. And so I came home. I sat down on my bed. Courtney was at work. It was probably in the morning. I got in the shower, got the kids on the bus. And I was like, babe, I really, really don't feel well. Like, I think something is wrong. Like, I think you need to call an ambulance, because I was, like, fucked up, you know? So I ended up going there, and it was a combination of the strep, the exhaustion, and I guess anything I had left over from COVID, because I had just had COVID a couple weeks ago, and it was like all these things sort of coalescing at one time. And I actually took a leave from work, and I was like, I need to break, you know. And I didn't expect, like, I think if it was one of those, if it was like one or the other, right? Like if I had just been sick with strep and I was a little tired, it would have been fine. Or if it was just Mania Week and I was just like tired from that, it would have been okay. Cause my body is usually pretty quick to like pick up on that shit. But, oh dude, I was down and out for the count. I was like, fuck this, man. And I think I was still kind of fucked up on Saturday when we recorded last week. I was just like, it's not been a pleasant couple weeks for me, but I am over this fucking illness shit. I know we could talk about that right at the top, man. I am fucking,
yeah,
ready to be over this. But I feel like this past winter, between the two of us and even Mrs. Meanie and Mrs. Goober, like, everybody's just been sick as a dog for the past, like, I think since like October. It's like every couple of weeks we're like, oh, one of us is sick, or you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I'm fucking ready for this shit to be done, man.
Yeah. I guess the silver lining is, like, it's the weather's getting nicer. Sun's out a little bit longer. So my mood's definitely way better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm over this sick shit and just ready to move on and just be my regular old miserable shit.
I would rather just be complaining about baseball and everything else as opposed to fucking COVID.
Yeah.
Like, my voice is still fucked up. Like, I can hear it in the microphone.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm still, like, not... I have an extra seltzer today because I'm, like, so parched. But, man, it is deeply unpleasant. But what is not unpleasant is the opposite of unpleasant is pleasant. And that's the fucking pod squad that's here with us tonight, man.
We got a full house.
I love it. Don't forget to sign up today. Patreon.com/MindOfTheMeanie. Tiers start, Meanie. I don't know if you know this, but they start at $10 a month. And
nice.
I think you should probably just fucking sign up so you can see our beautiful faces and our beautifully coiffed hair each and every week on the program. But it sounds like as we're recording right now, we got a great Phillies game on our hands and baseball is back, yeah. Brother. How are you feeling about the Phillies right now? How are you feeling overall? And when are we going to a ball game?
Yeah, dude, I can't get to a game soon enough. But dude, it's April. You know, March, April, you know, people, you know, are like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, dude, they're doing all right. They just got above 500. As we speak, they're up 7-0 over the Chicago White Sox. Oof. Which I don't follow White Sox, so I don't really know how to gauge that. So, but and have you seen the new City Connect uniforms that they wear?
I have. I want to know your thoughts on them.
I am getting used to them.
I don't know. Oh, Audrey says hello.
Hello.
I don't know how I haven't looked at them enough. You know what? I'm going to pull them up right now. What do they officially call them? Audrey. The city.
Oh.
She's all right. She's a little tired today. She's coming down from everything as well. Okay, here we are. Oh, I got the images.
Yeah, the city city connectors.
Let me see. Let's see. Let me pull them up. This goddamn Google machine. Okay. It looks like the lettering is goofy and
yeah.
The colors aren't terrible. Like that. Like I'm a big fan of blues, obviously, as you can see, as you know, I'm a big fan of the color blue. So I like this.
I've dabbled in it. I've dabbled.
You've dabbled. Yeah. Usually you had a green meanie, right? Hey, meanie, like when you're going to go green, what are the colors you're going to do?
Yeah.
None. This is my gimmick. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You know, maybe I was too harsh on them initially. I don't mind them, actually. Looking at them now, like, I'm like, oh, this is...
Seeing them in action, like, there's still photos where, like, ah, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And that now, this is, like, I think this is, like, the second game they're wearing them. The first game, they kind of shit the bed wearing them. But since they're winning and they're wearing them right now, they look all right. Like, the number's a little weird, like... Some numbers look like question marks. It's, like, <Yeah. laughs> it's kind of goofy. But I like JT's fucking catcher gear. He kind of looks like Wolverine.
Mm.
But with the yellow. I kind of dig them. I kind of dig them.
Yeah. You know? Like, the more I stare at them, the more it's not like.
It doesn't look like. Doesn't look like softball.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was worried about, like some DB, like beer league kind of shit. You know what I mean? It was like, good uniforms. But they look better than whatever the fucking bullshit they're offering right now with the Fanatics stuff. Like, I wanted to get a Harper jersey last year. And I wanted to get, I wanted to get a Castellanos one too. And then they like completely redesigned the uniform. So now you can see everybody's dick and balls in their uniform. And it's like, I can't wear this shit. I'm not gonna wear baseball pants. Right. But like the fucking numbers and shit are all crooked. And like, it's just such a weird, like, I don't understand why they did that. And they're not interested in any of the fucking like changing anything because of the criticism that they've been getting. I just don't. I don't know, man. You know what I miss?
So,
go ahead. Sorry.
What's that? No, no. What do you miss? Go ahead.
I miss the blue hats from '93. Yes. I had an original one, and obviously I was little and I lost it. And then I had another one. It was like a remake of it, and I was so fucking happy that I found it. And now I can't find it somewhere, so I'm trying to find it again. But I used to have. It was a fitted John too. It wasn't one of the ones with the strap backs or whatever. It was one of the original fitted ones they had. And I hope they bring those back very soon. But
apparently you're not the only one not a fan of the new baseball uniforms, because somebody noticed that Bryce Harper wore a jersey from last season during one of the games this year. And the internet sleuths when they notice stuff, but the lettering was bigger, and you couldn't see through it. So it was definitely an old jersey that I guess he had saved or whatever. Maybe he stockpiled up on them and is like, hey, you know what? Make me a whole bunch of these for next year. You know, but
I mean, who's going to tell Bryce Harper no? Are they going to fine him? Okay, dude, here you go.
Yeah.
I'm looking at something Nike City Connect MLB jersey. It's a different variant of the Phillies jersey.
I think each team's got their own version.
I don't know if this is real. I'm looking at it and it says it's inspired by the Betsy Ross flag. Someone can fact check me. I don't know if that's actually a thing, but it's giving me vibes. It's giving me some specific vibes here, pal. I'm not sure if I would be caught in public wearing this, but I like the
color. I thought it was supposed to be the city's flag, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't know if I would call that the city's flag. I don't know, man. It's like, this is dope. You know what? I do. My favorite, though, is when they wear the throwback, like, 80s style.
Oh, jersey. The powder blues?
Oh, my God. That is like.
Oh, they're my favorite.
Every day. Like, if they wear those every day, I would be the happiest fucking guy in the world. I never miss a game when they're wearing them.
My least favorite was when they had the maroon unis.
Oh yeah. Oh. Good Lord.
It was just so bad. And there's a point where they had there's one season where they wore shorts.
They wore shorts on the baseball field?
Yes.
Why?
It looked like they were wearing a maroon jumper. This is like in the 70s, I think.
Oh my God!
In the fat P era, you know.
I'm looking up 1993 vintage blue new era Phillies hats, and they have some. So I'm gonna need to know what your cap size is. We're gonna buy some of these bad boys, and we're gonna wear them because we need these Johns.
The biggest size available.
Give me a double 23. They got a double 23. Yeah.
Dude, I swear, my hat would be my hat would be too big to put on top of William Penn on top of City Hall, you know,
like a Macy's Day.
Sorry, that's a super localized fucking reference there for people who don't live inside of Philadelphia. On top of City Hall, there's a statue of William Penn, right?
Yeah, it's William Penn. Yeah.
And his hands shaped, his one hand is in such a way that if you stare there, it looks like his hand looks like his packer. But, my head is so fucking large. If I can't wear snapbacks because I'm on the absolute last fucking snap. Mm. And even at that point, it's fucking screaming. It's hanging off the edge of a cliff by your fucking fingernails, you know.
Oh, that's just funny.
My hat to be like, oh, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck. I'm losing grip.
It's that Tobey Maguire scene, but, when he's holding on to the bus.
Yeah. Oh. Dude, I used to know my hat size, but whatever the biggest fucking hat you can find, you know.
I'm going to tab these right now because I'm holding on to it. I also just found the vintage 1993 National League Champions Philadelphia Phillies hat, which I also had one as a child.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to stock up on them. But no, I don't necessarily, now that I've spent a little bit more time looking at these jerseys, like, I don't really think I... It kind of reminds me of, in some ways, like the Union colors, like the Philadelphia Union in some ways.
That too.
And I...
That too.
I like those. Like, I don't have any issue with them, but... yeah, these are pretty okay. They're not the worst.
As I got the Phillies game on, it's Trey Turner's jersey. His number 7 on the back looks like a fucking question mark. It's crazy.
Trey Turner's question mark. I like it. Should that be the episode title?
Or yeah, why not?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to write this down because I'm going to forget. All right, that's it, folks. Always, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. No, kidding. I'm excited for baseball. We definitely have to make sure we hit a game. And
nothing beats going to a game and having a beer and a hot dog.
Yeah,
I don't even need seats. Just give me some fucking standing room onlys and you just walk around. You know, that's the awesome thing about baseball. You can just walk around.
Give me some space. Give me, like, right along the alleyway there in the outfield. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those open space. Just fucking
give me Ashburn Alley.
That's the one. Give me a space to just stand right there. I'll watch the game right from there. I don't give a shit. It gives me easy access to everything I need to get. I'm good. I'll throw on my 2008 or 2009 Victorino jersey that I have here in the closet that I haven't worn in quite some time. It's got the 09 series patch on it and the Harry Callis tribute patch. It's my that's my John, man. But
shout out to former ECW referees John Finnegan and Mike Keener. They work security down there at the ballpark. And every time I go through, like, Finnegan's security gate, I go, pat me down, ref, pat me down, you know. But yeah, definitely gotta go see a figure guy. I missed last season. Last game I went to World Series Game 5, which they fucking lost, which I bought tickets for that game specifically in hopes that was going to be the clincher, but not to be. Yeah.
No, I hope, like I said, I'm hoping that they will, make it this far this year. I know we were pretty close last year. I thought we were going to.
Ran out of gas.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. It was just like they got tired. But I will say who I'm tired of seeing on baseball anywhere is freaking Angel Hernandez.
Yes.
He is, for the uninitiated, this is a lot of baseball talk today, friends, but for the uninitiated, Angel Hernandez is an umpire for Major League Baseball, and he is the worst umpire, objectively speaking. Like, and I think Meany would agree with that. Like, and most
people. Oh, yeah. I think it's pretty universal.
The worst umpire in baseball right now and probably in history. Did you see any of his calls recently in some of the games that were coming up? And I just
yeah.
God,
I saw a meme that said if Angel Hernandez stared right into the sun, it would make him a better umpire or something like that.
That's true.
Something goofy like that, but he's so bad. I'm assuming the reason why he still has a job is because he's, you know, in the umpires union or whatever. You know, they're umpires are so fucking protected that you're not even allowed to, you know, critique them or you get fined. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
even for the smallest infraction, they'll throw you out. And it's like, there were two. It was like, one was a very clear, right in the box, down the middle strike. And he called it a ball. And then it was one that was like, you know, if you never, you know, a picture like a vertical rectangle, right? And it, just for anybody who's not really familiar with the game, right, the pitcher has to get it inside this vertical rectangle in order that's the strike zone, and anywhere outside of that, doesn't matter where it is called ball, right? And then so the fucking guy throws it on very clearly outside of the strike zone and he calls it a strike, and I think he struck the batter out. And it got me wondering, like, first of all, how this guy still has his fucking job.
Yeah.
But second of all, how many games do you think had their outcome changed and potentially the course of the season
or the series
were changed because of his bad calls.
Oh, absolutely. And so at some point it makes you wonder if he's, you know, if he's doing a Donaghy there, you know, where he's, you know, doing some point shaving, you know, for some kind of gambling ring or something like that. Because, you know, Donaghy showed how you could fix, you know, basketball games. So, you know, Angel Hernandez is that bad to where you don't know if it's he's the purely the shits or he's up to something. Yeah. You know, just there's another great meme where just like Alex Hernandez's phone and it's just a bunch of things that miss call. like somebody was trying to call him, you know.
Man, it was so, I just don't understand how this guy continues to have a job. And like, it's very, like I said, it must be the union. Cause it's like, it's very clear that this guy is just not doing his job properly and it just fucks up the whole game. But I'm waiting for, who was it? From the Phillies that got ejected from one of his calls.
Schwarber.
That's it.
Schwarber went nuclear on him.
Fuck, man. And for both sides, because both teams were like, they hate you, we hate you, like, you suck. And, like, yeah. He's just standing there. Like, how could you be so fucking pompous, dude? I just, oh, my God.
That was two seasons ago, and I think that was, I don't know if that was Schwarber's first year in Philly, but that definitely endeared him to the fans, the way he just fucking went nuclear on fucking Angel, but.
It's one thing to do it for your own team. It's another to stand up for both teams and being like, you are literally fucking up this game. So,
yeah.
No, man, I saw that and I knew I wanted to talk to you about it. What else is going on with you, man? What else is new in the world of the blue guy?
Something I missed out on last week. I got to give a shout out to Matt Breen and Gabe Coffey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. They did a fantastic article on me, and Matt, you know, wrote the article, and Gabe did a lot of the video. It came along. There was a 2-minute piece, and then expanded like almost 5-minute piece.
Wow!
That Gabe did like a mini documentary, which is up on the Philadelphia Inquirer's YouTube page right now. Flattering is an understatement, you know, just the portrait they paint it, and you know, to be in my hometown paper, which I got like I got a copy of each. Oh, that's awesome. But it's so cool to, you know, to be able to, you know, tell your story, you know, give your family the, you know, I celebrate my family as much as I can, and give them their flowers in
Pennsylvania in the last 5 years.
Just the fact that I was able to, you know, do that interview and, you know, put over my grandfather, put over mom, put over my grandmom, and also, you know, just tell people, you know, how proud I am of my city and everything I've gotten to do.
I'm actually pulling up right here. I kind of want to play it if you don't mind.
I don't think they would mind.
I don't think it's copyrighted, is it?
Yeah, but I think they'll allow it.
Couple comments on here. Blue Meanie is my favorite. With very drawn out here. What a stand up guy. I was really hoping on night 2 that they would pay some kind of homage to the ECW greats that made their bones. I guess they kind of did that with Bubba Ray, but. It would have been nice to have a blue running. That was a beautiful piece on a really great guy. I'm liking that fucking comment. So, buckle up here, guys. I'm going to play this for you, and let's hear Blue Meanie for the Philadelphia Inquirer.
I've gone to a WrestleMania as a fan. To 10 years later, I'm at a WrestleMania in my hometown. It's a very storybook.
This is it. This is the building that launched my career.
Great jacket, too, by the way.
Yeah, my old ECW jacket.
I am this Brian sound Efron, is them putting the better known to the wrestling together. World as the Blue Meanie. We're in my favorite bar in the planet, McCusker's Tavern on the corners of 17th and Chunk. First match I ever remember seeing was Rick Martel and Tony Garea lose the WWF tag belts against Mr. Fuji and Mr. Saito. And that was it. I was like, I love this. Every week I watched it, you know, religiously. And then I graduated into buying magazines and eventually going to shows and stuff like that. It became my obsession. I went to the first WrestleMania with my grandfather. I loved pro wrestling, but I also loved stand-up comedy. The over-animated guys like George Carlin, the signature meanie face is my grandfather. I remember when I was a kid looking up and my grandfather would look over me and go, and here I am 30 years later,
that's
the blue meanie.
Cool,
go,
man. I didn't know that.
Yep.
I grew up a severe asthmatic as a kid. I battled depression. I dealt with a lot of bullying. A lot of people would make fun of me, and a lot of kids, you know, would pick on me and beat me up. But I figured if I could make them laugh, maybe they'll leave me alone. Pro wrestling gave me that escapism. You go to a pro wrestling event and you could cheer the good guys, you could boo the villains, and have this live interaction that you don't get with anything else. And that's what made me fall in love with pro wrestling. I just graduated high school, and I was going to go to wrestling school. I worked in the casinos for a good year. Every week I would take my paycheck, half would go to the house, and the other half would go in the sock drawer towards tuition. My family has a going-away party for me the night of WrestleMania 10, and then I pack up everything I own, and the next morning I'm driving 13 hours to Lima, Ohio. I could have stayed in the casinos, and I was making decent money. I could have stayed there, got a 401k, and this, that, and the other thing. I just walked away from something that could have carried me for the next 20 years to take that risk.
This is essentially my college. Body Slammers, Pro Wrestling Gym in Lima, Ohio.
Holding up my wrestling school jacket.
That's pretty
for
cool,
a full
man.
Year. I've kept this all these years because it brings back great memories.
I was there for 2 months, and my grandmom called and said, you know, Pop's dying. But his words were, don't come home. I have to do this. If I'm going to be away from my grandfather while he's dying, I have to make it. And I was able to send home one match for him to see me. Him and his friends sat and watched me have a match. And we moved back to South Philly. That's where the ECW opportunity came. And it's like, it was almost like it was meant to be. Philadelphia's a hardworking town. A bunch of busted knuckle, lunch pail, blue collar guys going to work. And then when they come home and they want to have time off from their job, they want to have something to take their mind and go elsewhere. The Phillies give them the option. Eagles give them the option. Sixers give them the option. Pro wrestling was the ultimate in escapism. I debuted for ECW in Philly.
There he is.
I debuted for WWE in Philly. Then my one and only WrestleMania moment was at the Wells Fargo Center, WrestleMania 15. You couldn't have asked for a better thing to debut in front of an attendant in the city I was born, you know, 50 years later, going on for that. I'm still doing the thing I loved in the city I love. The lasting impact I would love to have on the art of professional wrestling is that I did whatever it took to help people have that escapism. I wanted to give them a laugh. I wanted them to give them a moment to cheer, you know. I could look out in that crowd and I could see somebody who was like me before I got into the business. And I know what those fans want because that's what I wanted. I just grew up wanting to do something to entertain people and make people laugh. I'm very fortunate.
Man, that was fucking great.
Yeah.
That was great.
We definitely did an interview for like a while, and you know, the way they pieced it together was pretty seamless.
That was,
you know,
a fabulous, fantastic watch. I'm gonna throw that up on our socials. I'm gonna throw that in the Patreon because you can hear it, but you should experience that. That was a moment, man. That was cool. I loved how they used the pictures of your grandparents too. That was pretty cool, man.
Yeah, I was I met up with if you've seen the beginning clip, we go to Lee Submarine. I met up with Gabe. I brought a bunch of family photos for him to use, and it was fantastic. The way he used it was really cool.
Yeah,
told a great, you know, story of my story. So,
yeah.
You know, if that's, you know, I don't know if I ever, get another opportunity to have a personality profile in my hometown. I actually, it was in the Philadelphia Inquirer Daily News, and they ran it into the press of Atlantic City, which is really full circle for me because I grew up in Atlantic City as well. So, you know, it really hit the hat trick.
Yeah.
Of, you know, all the places I lived and stuff like that. So, you know, it's pretty cool. Pretty flattering.
I was going to say that's pretty, what I loved is I loved being at Meanie Mania, right? Because it was cool to see like the celebratory air of what was going on in that weekend. Right. And in that moment, right.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see McCusker's just in like your element, right? Like just in like Meanie's element, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh shit, I didn't realize there's fucking seats from the vet there. I didn't see them when I was there. You know what I mean? Like there's so many, like it's for me, it's like going to McCusker's again is going to be worth another trip to come down there because, you know, Meanie Mania was great, but it was a lot going on. I want to be able to just like sit and chill, you know, come down on like a Saturday night, hang out for an hour or two and be like, all right, man, you know, like I'm going to bring some pizza. Do you want anything? You know what I mean? Just chill. Like that's my vibe.
Yeah.
So
that's the cool thing about McCusker's. You could literally just bring in a pizza and they won't give a shit. It's just, they used to have a kitchen and it just became such a thing between, you know, waiting behind the bar and then having to run in the kitchen and, you know, cook something real quick. And then they're like, you know what? If you want to order a fucking pizza, order a fucking pizza. As long as you're drinking the beer, you know, that's good.
Just get a PBR and be fucking happy, man. I love it.
Well, you know, now if you come to McCusker's, you know, on a night that's not as busy as fucking Meanie Mania, it was fucking packed, bro.
Yeah, dude.
But I could give you the 25-cent tour because there's a lot of cool hidden things in there. That's you don't awesome. Notice right away. But yeah, dude, we went to McCusker's again last night just to get the fuck out of the house, you know?
Yeah.
It was, you know, we did the party and then we did all the shows and conventions and stuff like that. And it's been worn down. And last night we were like, you know what? We feel like shit, but let's get out of the fucking house, you know, knock a couple cold ones back. And we were catching up with Jesse, the bartender, you know, Jesse, one of the bartenders. And he was like, because like it was basically all hands on deck. Doug was bartending, Dougie McCusker. Thursday's usually Jesse's night. Jesse was bartending. And then Billy, who does, you know, other shifts, came in to help out. He was helping out behind the bar. And, you know, they were, you know, we were recapping it, you know, and Jesse said he was kind of a little bit overcome. How many people, like, and, you know, that place is usually packed for, like, playoffs, like Phillies, Eagles. You know, they've seen some people in there, but that night it was just like fucking, you know, you had to go outside to just change your fucking mind, you know, just. Holy shit. But, you know, and thank you to everybody who fucking came out. I'm still getting photos. I'm still getting tagged in photos from that night. And it's really cool. I'm trying to find more video of our wedding. I have it. Well, here's the thing about, you know, keeping a, you know, fucking secret. It's cool to keep a secret and surprise people, but you don't really get a chance to, you know, have people set up their record, you know, something you're about to do.
Right.
Everybody recorded after I did my promo, you know, announcing the wedding where I was like, you know, cause the promo was basically me saying, yeah, you know, it's Mrs. Meanie here. We've been together 18 years. And, even though she's I've been calling her my wife, even though she's just my girlfriend, but that's about to change right here. Right now.
Wow.
And you just hear the crowd in the room go, what? And then it went from, is he proposing? And then went to, no, he's, this is a fucking wedding.
Wow. That's awesome.
You know, busts out the rings. Alan, you know, Sebastian was our ring bearer. And he was, nobody knew. Like, yeah, we were like, hey, I got to make some announcements. Come with me real quick. And I was like, Al, you want to be a witness? And then that's when it really hit. When I was like, I need you to be a witness. You hear the crowd just fucking reacting. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. And then we did like the super quick Spaceballs wedding. You know, do you? Yes. Do you? Yes. All right. You're married pretty much. So yeah, it was really cool, man. Yeah. Just still high off of that, you know. We went to McCusker's last night. We're like, oh, it's our 2-week anniversary, you know.
Can you believe it's already been 2 fucking weeks since WrestleMania happened? Like, I feel like, dude, we spent so much time kind of like prepping for it and getting ready and like,
yeah.
I don't know, man. It just it flew so fast. And like, just if you, and also too, like if you want to go ahead and take a look at some of my adventures from that weekend, Meanie is in there as well. We have a nice little spot in there, a nice little Mind of the Meanie spot in that video.
Yeah,
I'll link that as well. But I appreciate all the feedback on that. My favorite part, obviously, is us linking up in person without this little, well, wait, this shit here, this screen here. But
yeah, this little divider gimmick, little
divider thing we got going on here. It's actually real. We put it up, but. No, I just can't believe it's been that long. Like, it feels like it just happened, but
yeah. Well, it felt like we were waiting for Mania to come to Philly for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
It felt like, and then it just came super quick. Like, I was so, I've had so much anxiety waiting for Mania. I was like, dude, how am I going to get from here to there, to here, to there, to here, to there? You know, I was mapping out, you know, where the Sheridan was on Google Earth. I was like, oh, where am I going to fuck a park? What am I going to do? And then once I got there, I figured out where to park. It was fucking cake. And I started hating myself for working myself up like that, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I get in my own fucking head and it just becomes like a thing, you know. Just so it's like, you know. WrestleCon was super easy, super fun. The Battleground show, you know, they had the block party, and then, you know, Tribute to Extreme, awesome. And then the viewing parties at the arena. And then I did the tour on Wednesday. I did 2 tours on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Did a tour on Sunday for WWE. And, you know, that was kind of like the, cherry on top, you know. It's like I had hoped to, you know, do something for WWE. You know, he always wanted to do. I was like hoping they would have had a spot, you know, just where they pay tribute to ECW at, like the, you know, at WrestleMania or anything, you know.
Yeah.
But in my down low, you know, the fact that I got to do something really cool, they entrusted me to take their VIPs and take them through the building, tell them some stories, and, you know, give them the experience of what it was like, you know, paint a picture of the experience of attending an event at the ECW Arena. So, it might not have been what I wanted to do, but getting to work, you know, the arena in Philly, for WWE.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. I got some booked catering. They had some catering there. And, you know, once they left it and I went over, I got some to-go trays. I was give me some fucking Tupperware. So I had some booked catering for the rest of the week. And, you know, so.
I actually just sent you something in your messages that you should take a look at as a side note here. But while you're doing that, I was thinking about, just as you were talking, catering for WWE.
Yeah.
It's no joke, man. Like I wasn't there in the press box night one, or night two rather, but I was there night one, and they not only had cheesesteaks, they also had roast pork. And I mean,
smart.
Oh my God, it was so good. The desserts were fantastic. Like it is literally like everything you hear. Like, I'm sure the catering for the talent and the people in the back is next level. But even for us, like every single one, the Rumble, SummerSlam, Mania, like just next level shit. So shout out to those folks, because they know how to fucking party. And it was great.
Yeah. I heard stories of guys, you know, after my stay there, you know, when the catering, you know, picked up, people would bring like fucking Tupperware just to fucking, because, you know, you leave an event, nothing's open.
Yeah.
So you get something to fucking put in your to go thing and take it to the next town or whatever and have at it. But dude, WWE catering is no fucking joke, man. It's fucking great.
You know, Meanie.
What's that, Adam?
We hear this a lot. Every CBD company tells you that their product is the best. With quality control measures like lab testing and QR codes now becoming the standard, it can start to seem like all CBD brands are the same, but I'm here to tell you something, Meanie. They are not. Knowing what makes certain brands better will help you spend your money more wisely and have more confidence as you incorporate CBD oils, topicals, capsules, or gummies into your own wellness routine. And that's why we're proud to partner with Green Road CBD as an official sponsor of Mind of the Meanie. And Meanie, I know you're a longtime user of Green Road CBD. How has Green Road CBD helped you in your life?
Let me tell you, Green Road CBD is a product I've been using for years. And when we started Mind of the Meanie, I always was like, let's get Green Roads as a sponsor, because I use them almost daily, whether it's the gummies, you know, to take care of the aches and pains of 30 years of wrestling, the topical solutions to help my knees, help my back, help my elbows, help my shoulders. Green Road CBD has done everything to help me maintain a pain-free existence from all the years of wear and tear as a professional wrestler.
And to me, Meanie, that sounds like the Green Road's difference. And it comes down to a really few important points. They're just part of the reason that they've won industry awards year after year, earned thousands of five-star reviews, and have heard countless stories from customers just like you about the impact that those products have had on your life. So Green Roads is led by a compounding pharmacist with 25 years of experience helping her community getting healthy. For her and the entire company, it's more than just a job. It's a mission. And not all hemp sourcing is equal, Meanie. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But they select their hemp from high-quality American farms. And also, not all lab testing is equal, which is why they use an accredited independent lab to conduct full panel tests on every single batch. And that's why Green Roads is an original manufacturer, not just a quote-unquote white label brand. So right now, you can go to greenroads.com, Meanie, and save 25% off of your entire purchase.
Wow.
25% off of everything, Meanie. That's huge. And all you have to do is go to their website right now, greenroads.com, and use promo code Meanie at checkout. It's 25% off your entire purchase by using promo code Meanie at greenroads.com. Own the day with Green Road CBD, and we thank them for sponsoring the program. I was thinking about what you were saying with traveling around. You know, now that SummerSlam has been announced, it's going to be in Cleveland. That's only a 6-hour drive here from Philadelphia. And I was talking to friends of the show and my frequent collaborators, Muscle Man Malcolm and Sir Wilkins from the Jobber Tears podcast. We're going to carpool. We're going to rent a nice car.
And we're gonna rent
an SUV. We're going to drive out there because, you know, I lived in Pittsburgh. Want to stop in Pittsburgh, do a couple things on our drive out, stretch, and then do the next 2 hours into Cleveland. And the other thing I learned too is like, it's worth having a car with you to sit in that traffic when you leave the stadium, as opposed to waiting for an Uber, because the differentials between, especially at least in my experience, right, the differentials between us leaving WrestleMania, because I would park over like both nights. And even when I was there at SmackDown, I parked at the Wells Fargo Center. So, like, right where the big LED signs are on that side facing 95. I parked there, and we would walk across the street to the Link. And even just doing that, it was like, this is so much easier. I'd rather sit in this traffic and wait than have to wait for a fucking Uber. Because when we were in Tampa, Malcolm and I, we were trying to get around after the show. And we must have walked around Tropicana Field for hours. It was probably an hour and a half. And where my Airbnb was a 4-minute drive to the stadium. But it was like a 30-minute walk. And I was like, well, maybe we'll just fucking walk. Same thing in Detroit. We did the same thing out there. And the Ubers were like $125, $150.
And yeah, that's horrible.
They cancel after, like, you know, you'd get an alert and it's like, oh, fuck, it's finally here. And then they cancel on you. And I'm like, no, I don't, I would, I'm going to rent a car wherever I go. It's what, $90 for the fucking weekend at the most, right? You figure that's a day and a half's worth of Uber trips right there when I can just get in the car and fucking drive anywhere and park wherever I need to, you know? So that if you're
and you can create content on the way.
Bingo.
You know?
Right. And that's the thing is like, especially with the vlogs and shit that I do now too, it's like it makes it easier for me because now we can record a bunch of fun stuff and do things it's there's so many more benefits to that than flying out to Cleveland, you know? If it was a little bit farther, right? If we're talking like Detroit or St. Louis, like maybe we would probably fly, but like I'm still renting a car, you know? But no, I mean, like I said, I totally understand that feeling of like trying to figure out, cause that's, I know I talked to a bunch of people, like I was supposed to meet up with Alfred Kanawa from Forbes. I wanted to spend more time with the Public Enemies podcast guys. And there was just like, and I was also working on that 35 millimeter project I've been talking about on Twitter. Like I wanted to get a photo of you. I wanted to get a photo of Alfred and a bunch of these different people. And I just didn't have time. I underestimated how truly busy I was going to be because all of us were together and there was a group of, like, we call ourselves the Pastor Cody's congregation. There's a bunch of us content creators that work together. And so it's I'll give them a shout out to it's Haley from comicbook.com, Sir Wilkins, Muscle Man Malcolm, Alex Lajas, who goes by Queen of the Ring, and Mona from Sports Kita, and myself. And so we'd all made plans and we're like, we're going to just drive together and go to these different shows. And so I'm mapping it out. And then we all kind of realize that, like, we're all doing different things at different times. And it's like, then shit would come up. Like, a bunch of us got invited last minute to go to that Big E's brunch on Sunday morning. So, like, that kind of changed things in a good way. But man, fuck that. Fuck that Uber shit, pal. That's never going to happen again. So,
$100 Uber is more than a rental car would cost you.
Yeah, for the entire weekend. Like, we could drive to Cleveland and back for that cost.
So. Split it three ways and just make sure you get the insurance, you know.
Pay the extra for the insurance because we're splitting it three ways and we can afford it. So.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to get a good one with Sirius in it and stuff. Get some, like, I'm not taking my fucking hoopty. I'm taking my beater, man. I got a 2000, well, it's not a beater. It's
fuck a that. Yeah.
It's my 2011 purple Ford Fusion that's got 175,000 miles on it. That shit ain't going to Cleveland again.
No.
But I have actually, speaking of Cleveland, I'm going to hard transition here, pal. I have a question for you. I don't know how that worked, but I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Are you ready to ask me any?
I would love to.
It's time to ask me anything.
Ask me something.
Yeah, of course.
I can't remember what regular air smells like.
Don't forget to tweet us your questions using the hashtag AskMeanie, and you may hear them on the program. I'm going to start with a question from our friend RJ Krasinski. What's up, RJ?
What up, RJ?
Good to hear from you, pal. Thank you so much for your questions, as always. If you were to make up a sandwich and named after you, what would it entail?
Oof. Definitely, is it a cheeseburger sandwich?
Yeah. Oh, wait, before we answer, hold on, I forgot a step here. Let's rewind.
Oh!
Let's rewind.
Hold on.
Let's try that one again.
I'm glad I hit the right button.
Don't forget to tweet us your questions using the hashtag AskMeanie, and you may hear them on the show. Meanie, it's seltzer time. What do you got for us today?
No surprise. I got the Belle V pumpkin pie seltzer. Still got like a case and a half of this fucking John.
And it shouldn't be a surprise to you either. I get them whenever I can. It's the sparkling ice berry lemonade. It's my favorite flavor. And if you see me out in public and you hand me one, I'll be your best friend. So we're going to crack these here in 3, 2, 1. Oh, yeah. All that berry goodness. Whew. Pinkies up. Oh, man. That's some good shit.
I see your gimmicks in Aldi all the time.
Yeah. They're the cheap shit from Aldi, which Courtney just has a fucking refrigerator full of them downstairs. So, but I'll pick these up if I go to the Acme or you know, if I find them somewhere, I usually try to stock up at work too, because my team loves them. So I'm like, oh, I need a seltzer. I'm going to grab one of these joints.
Nice.
So a cheeseburger is definitely a sandwich.
I mean, I would do a burger with bacon, blue cheese, caramelized onions, on a toasted bun.
That sounds amazing.
The blue meanie blue burger.
I'll tell you my sandwich. Are you ready?
That's my dream.
Are you ready for the Goober sandwich?
Yes.
All right. So I used to work at a deli. Shout out to Hometown Deli down there in Newtown, Pennsylvania, Bucks County, right off of Durham Road there. And I would eat this sandwich probably, I think I would eat it once a day. Every day I worked there was my lunch. It's a turkey sandwich with pepper jack cheese, lettuce, mayonnaise on toasted rye.
Nice.
That would be my sandwich. That would be what
I'm a big turkey. I'm a turkey mark.
I don't think it was reduced fat, but there was a specific kind of turkey breast that they would use from Dietz and Watson that was fucking fabulous. And so I'd slice it up real, you know, you don't want to do it too thin to be like kind of pulled apart, but thin enough so it's like a nice, easy slice on top of there. Don't want to go too crazy with the cheese. Maybe use one slice to pull it in half. And then fucking fill that bad boy up with some mayonnaise and some shredded lettuce. Mwah.
What's that? Was that Beck's song "Loser" when he goes go crazy with the cheese whiz?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. Chimpanzee, I was a monkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the plastic eyeballs, I don't know what any of that means, but
no,
it sounds like a Ghostface Killah song.
And talk about a guy who's had like a lot of transitions in this career, like from that song to. You know, he did that funk album, party funk album, and then he did the album Sea Change, which was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Guys had a really, Beck has had like a really cool,
career
arc.
Yeah.
Arc. That's the word I was trying to think of.
I like when artists reinvent themselves. Because I feel like if you get stale, you know, like one of my favorite artists is John Mayer, right? He had this great run of his first three CDs, and then his fourth one was kind of okay. And then he really leaned hard into like the bluegrass bluesy sound, and like he never really looked back after that. And I was like, wow, I kind of dig this, but like everything is, you know, and then he did this yacht rock album, this most recent one. And I was like, no, I kind of dig this. So I like.
You said that was John Mayer? You said that?
John Mayer, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I like Mayer.
He's very great, man. Love that shit. Shout out, friend of the show, John Mayer. I'm sure if we asked nice enough, he would probably just pop on here. He seems like that kind of guy.
Seems like a funny dude.
He does a whole live show on, where he has his own station now on Sirius XM called Life, which is, it's worth every penny we pay for Sirius. And he'll do live episodes. Sometimes he'll do like live stuff inside Sirius's studio. So, Mike Errico Jr., friend of the show, wants to know, hey, Meanie, can we throw you a bachelor party after the fact?
Yeah, believe it or not, I've never really been a bachelor party guy. Like even when, like when my friends were getting married, we're gonna go to the strip club. I'm like, can we just go to a bar and just get drunk? Nothing against strip clubs, but I'm not impressed. It's just like you know, I just want to be left alone. I want to go to a bar, you know, have my polish the bar with my elbows. And look at my phone, drink my beer, watch whatever sports on TV.
Yep.
Be left the fuck alone.
Yeah, I don't
want to
be.
Not left the fuck alone, but just like, you know, I don't want to be pestered. Yeah. But me and Mrs. Mia were talking about it because people are like, where are you registered at? You know, for like wedding stuff, like up. You know, how people, we need a blender. We're trying to think, is there like a way to do a registry for like vacation?
I'm sure. Like, yeah. You could do like a, it's almost like not a GoFundMe, but like, hey, this is where we want to go. Like if in lieu of gifts, you know, you can send us some cash or whatever here. So we, you know, for a honeymoon. I've seen people do that before.
Yeah. Like a honeymoon fucking registry, you know? You know, it's that, yeah, because we got stuff, you know, and Our house is a fucking hoarder house anyway. Nothing bad. No dead possums or anything. It's just it's mainly clothing. But that just came across my mind because we're due for like another trip, and we want to like maybe go on a honeymoon somewhere. But just haven't figured out where yet.
Friend of the show, Greg Alker, wants to know, would you ever consider a match in Rough and Rowdy? And if so, can I be part of your entourage?
Run that by me again? What is it?
A Rough and Rowdy. I'm actually looking it up right now. I think it's like a slap boxing thing or something along those lines, like an open-fisted fight. Let me see. It's fighters with defense throwing haymakers. Yeah, no, dude, Greg, fuck, man. Why? Why would anybody want to be a part of that? Fuck all that noise. No, thank you.
I watched that, whatever that Dana White slap thing is, and I'm just like, fuck that.
Why would you fight with no defense throwing haymakers? Like, why?
No, I don't get it.
That's fucking ridiculous.
No, thank you.
Yeah, no, we're good, man. Matt from Dover, also happy birthday. Happy 40th birthday.
Oh, Matt happy from Dover birthday.
Has a couple questions for you. Do you have a garden? And if so, what do you plant?
I do not. I live in South Philly, so we have no yards. And well, we have a yard, but it's concrete. So the only thing that grows is the weeds behind my fucking fence that like sprout every summer and die in the winter. But nope.
Let me see. Who was the toughest guy you saw in the locker room?
Oh man, I mean Steve Blackman probably.
Yeah,
that guy. I would not want to be on his fucking bad side. Pick any Samoan, but yes, Steve Blackman, just legit badass. You know, he's got to know where some bodies are fucking hidden.
I would not be surprised to find out that man had some kind of body on him somewhere.
Yeah.
Let me see. He's got another question for you here.
Sure.
Do the Sixers beat the Knicks in round one? And if so, how far do you see the Sixers going in the playoffs?
Hopefully further than the second fucking round. I swear, if they don't make it past the second round, it's just like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You don't want to fucking blow the fucking team up, but I mean, they're on their third coach now with Nick Nurse.
Is it their third?
Yeah, well, they had the process guy. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head.
Doc Rivers, right?
No, the guy before Doc.
Oh, yeah. What the fuck was his name? Fuck. I'm going but to Google.
Doc Rivers was the fucking worst. Talk about a guy fucking stealing money.
Seriously. But, what a fucking shit show that was.
I can't make a prediction on the Sixers because what's that?
Brett Brown was his name.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's why make a prediction?
Yeah.
You know, just because just when they look like they're there's a point in the Toronto series where they look like they were gonna run away with the series and then fucking shit the bed. And then, you know, last year with Harden, you just watched them give up. I'm done making predictions for the Sixers.
Yeah. Last question here from David from Quakertown wants to know, did you have any least favorite moments from WrestleMania weekend or the show itself?
Least favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the lack of sleep.
But that was my answer, too.
Yeah, dude. Like, I got, you know, inside baseball, like, my blue hair stuff, you know, washes out. And I washed it out after the first day and reapplied it the next day. I was like, you know what? Fuck that. And Mrs. Meany has this, like, fucking hair thing that she wears, you know. It's supposed to protect your hair. But I left this stuff in my hair and put, like, this, I want to call it, like, a bonnet. Yeah. Over my head so I could just sleep and leave the blue and just touch up my beard and at the rent. But at least fair, it just lack of sleep and getting sick. You know, my voice was going like night one of Mania, hosting the viewing party at the arena. You know, you're talking all day,
yeah,
shaking hands, and I, you know, I call what I do at these conventions. I feel like I'm running for mayor. You know, hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? And I love it. You know, don't get me wrong, I love it. But, you know, there's a moment where you just kind of want to sit down, but you don't want to sit down because if you sit down, then you're afraid nobody's going to see you. I always stand up at these conventions. I'll stand up on a fucking chair so people can see me across a fucking room, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess one of the highlights was sharing a table with Mark Henry all week. I'm not Mark Henry, Henry Godwin all weekend. Yeah. Fucking great guy. And, but yeah, just the only thing, the only thing I hate is how my body just physically wears down just over the course of a couple of days,
yeah,
to where I'm still feeling it like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, that was kind of my, that was, like I said, we've been talking about it, kind of discussing through the whole show, was just like the fact that I was exhausted.
Yeah.
There wasn't really, like, match-wise on the card, there wasn't really anything that I didn't like. There was things that I thought maybe didn't, I don't even want to say live up to expectations, because I don't always know what my expectations are. You know, like, I think I have an idea of it, but I don't always know. You know, like, I think the only thing I ever really had expectations for was Pacquiao Mayweather, and that fight really underwhelmed my expectations, you know? But I really just try to go in and have a good time. I would say lack of sleep, and the whole hospital trip afterwards kind of sucked too. So, but what doesn't suck, good sir, is doing this segment of the show with you. So don't forget ask us your questions using the hashtag every week. Ask Meanie on the Twitterverse, on the Hellscape Bert app that still exists. And you can, you may hear them on the show. So, Meanie, I want to thank you for doing the program with me every single week.
Thank you, sir.
Doing this and the Pod Squad, we want to thank you as well for being here. Where can everybody, hold on, let me see if I got one here. There she is. That was a good one. That was a nice, nice official, prudent fart.
Sounded there. Like a hurt.
It hurt a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I got a little pain going on here. So I'm going to let you fill in the gaps here and talk about where everyone can stay up to date with all things blue when you're not listening to the program.
If you would like to follow the Blue Meanie on all forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, go to @BlueMeanieBWO on all forms of social media. If you want to support the Blue Meanie, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/BlueMeanie. If you would like to support Mind of the Meanie, go to ProWrestlingTees.com/MindOfTheMeanie. Collar and Elbow, the wrestling brand, go to CollarandElbowBrand.com. Use coupon code Meanie or use coupon code MINE and save 10% over there at CollarandElbowBrand.com. Shout out to my boy Josh Thornton at MadCatBeardCare.com. Get the Blue Spruce Beard Oil or Balm. All proceeds go to take care of the feral cats in this neighborhood. He rounds them up, takes them in, releases them back, you know, better than he found them. So if you're a cat lover like myself, go to madcatbeardcare.com. Get the Blue Spruce Beard Oil or Balm. The Ultra Pro Wrestling video game coming to all major consoles in 2024. Ultra Pro Wrestling contains not only original characters created by Hal Haney, the amazing Hal Haney, but many real-world wrestlers, including myself and many others. Go to ultraprowrestling.com or follow them on Twitter at @UPWVideoGame. That's ultraprowrestling.com or @UPWVideoGame on Twitter. The figure collection's Bone Crushing Series. The figure collection Bone Crushing Wrestler Series 1 variants of the Blue Meanie are available now. All Series 1 can be ordered right now at shop.figurecollections.com. That's shop.figurecollections.com. Type Blue Meanie in the search bar. Select either regular Blue Meanie or BWO Blue Meanie. Either way, there's no wrong choice. To have the Blue Meanie on your podcast, go to podstars.net. That's PODSTARZ.net. Register your podcast and then book the Blue Guy over there at podstars.net. cameo.com/BlueMeanieBWO for birthdays, holidays, and well wishes. Please book through the site. Please don't book through the app. The app takes way too much of your hard-earned cash. Let's have a good time making somebody's day. Make somebody's day a little bit brighter over there at cameo.com/BlueMeanieBWO. But most importantly, Mr. Bernard, where can we find you, sir?
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads at This Is Goober. Yes, it's my handle. No, I'm not changing it. It's a brand, pal. So go ahead and find me there and keep up to date with everything going on. Outside of the show, you can also hear me on my other show, Foundation Radio, by going to foundationradio.net and youtube.com/@foundationradiopod. My most recent episode was with Cappy Magar, who is the creator of the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. We have a lot of great conversations, and we talked about his book, The Man Who Made Mark Twain Famous. I will give a shout-out to the Kennedy Center, who not only followed me after I shared the reel where Cappy and I were discussing Bill Murray, they also shared it to their page and helped give me a bunch of visibility for that episode. So I want to thank the Kennedy Center for that. I appreciate y'all over there. And then this week, you're listening to this right now, and then tomorrow, my conversation with Ghostbusters Frozen Empire star Ernie Hudson will be in your feeds as long as you're subscribed to the show. You can't listen to it anywhere else, so go to foundationradio.net or go and watch the video version on youtube.com/@foundationradiopod. Both shows, as I scissor me timbers, are part of the Premier Podcast Network, so go and check it out. Feinberg Method. Go to thefeinbergmethod.com, use promo code Goober, and save up to 20% off of your purchase. My trainer, Brad Feinberg, is ready to help you with both your physical and mental well-being. Go to thefeinbergmethod.com. Shout out to the homies at the 10th Ward Barbershop in Lawrenceville and downtown Pittsburgh. Go and see Kane and Jordan and the rest of the team. Actually, they gave Corey Graves his haircut that you're watching on Friday night. That's a 10th Ward original right there, so go and check them out at 10thwardbarbershop.com. ProWrestlingTees.com/MindOfTheMeanie, ProWrestlingTees.com/FoundationRadio. Pick up a shirt and keep the lights on at Casa de Meanie and the Barnard Home for Wayward and Troubled Youth. We appreciate you listening. We want to thank the sponsors that you heard during the show here. And we want to thank you for listening. And also our Pod Squad, the esteemed members of the Pod Squad. Go to patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Sign up today. Tiers start at just $10. Get a lot of cool shit. You get to see some stuff early, and you get to watch us record every single week. It's worth it. So come and join the team here. We'll send you a signed 8x10 photo of Meanie and I designed by our friends. What's his handle again on the Instagram there? Our artist friend who drew our beautiful pictures signed. That's the one. Mr. Russell Pop, Mr. Nick Clark, have him. Go and pick one up there signed in blue, by the way, and also black by me because I have a black heart. But we'll get a signed photo to you as well. You get an official Pod Squad card as well, signed by the blue guy himself. Sign up today, patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, like, leave us a 5-star review, comment on the show. It only helps us with the algorithms, so please keep up to date with their meanie. I want to thank you for doing the show as always. Good sir. For the blue, actually, you know what? I also want to give a shout out real fast to the executive voice of the show, Sam Kreps. His son, Archie, was born yesterday, the newest member of the Kreps family and the newest member of the Pod Squad. So I want to give a shout out to him, Aubrey Link, and the rest of the Kreps family. Congratulations from all of us here at Butts Carlton Media. So we want to thank you, good sir. So make sure if you see Sam or if you follow Sam on his socials, please reach out and give him a congratulations right there. So we love you, buddy. Can't wait to meet Archie and see you again. So for the Blue Meanie, I am Adam Bernard. Join us again each and every week as we take a trip through the mind.
Blue World Order.
Peace.
This episode of Mind of the Meanie is hosted and executively produced by the Blue Meanie and Adam Barnard. It was mixed and engineered by Carl Pinnell. Additional narration is provided by the executive voice, Sam Kreps. That's me.
Our intro music was performed by the Swamp Candles. Our outro music was performed by Chikara. Additional musical accompaniment is performed by Enrichment. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter, or X or whatever, at Mind of the Meanie, and become part of the Pod Squad by going to patreon.com/mindofthemeanie. Find our entire show archive at mindofthemeanie.com. This has been a Butts Carlton Media production. Butts Carlton proprietor.
Dad, why does Blue Meanie's brain out?